Shall we turn this evening to Leviticus chapter 4? Reading from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall have sinned through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which he ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he has sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take off the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering, and the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, with his head, and with his legs, and his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him upon the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from their eye of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin offering, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And then the priest does the same with that bullock as he did with the bullock for the priest. Verse 22, please. When a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat, and kill it in the place where they killed the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the burnt offering, the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering, and he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not to be done and be guilty, or if his sin which he has sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring of his offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. Now, chapter 5 and verse 14, if you please. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and a sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation, or by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. Chapter 6, verse 1, please. Just to read this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of these things, that a man doeth sinning therein, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep of the lost thing which he found. Of all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth, in the day of his trespass offering. And may the Lord again be pleased to add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Well, it was very kind of our dear brother, Mr. McFarland, to say the things he said. One feels very humble, I assure you, yet very grateful. But I want to say this, that I owe you, dear brethren and sisters, a great debt. For there are things I know now about the offerings I never knew before. And the result is this, it has enriched my soul in many ways. And I must thank you for asking me to come. And when I was asked, I just took it as a challenge. I says, well, I must get down to the offerings. If I have anything to offer, I'll need to get it from the Lord. And tonight we shall have a little talk primarily on the sin offering, but take a panorama view of the whole offering. When you think of the first three offerings, the burnt, the meal, and the peace, we think of our Lord, and we say that's what he was in himself. When we think of the sin and the trespass offering, that's what he was made for you and me. When we think of the burnt, the meal, and the peace offering, we think of the sweet savour offerings. Because, you see, sin offerings were never burnt on the brazen altar. They were always outside the camp. And when we think of the sin and trespass offering, well, we think of the offerings for your sin and mine. One has said, you know, when we are occupied with the burnt offering, we are reminded of what we ought to have done. And that was the will of God. And the primary truth of the burnt offering is your Lord and my Lord. Wholeheartedly, delightfully accomplishing the will of God. Then, When we think of the meal offering, we are reminded of what we ought to have been. But you see, self was just the center of our life, and we lived for ourselves. But our blessed Lord lived for the glory of his Father. When we think of the peace offering, we are reminded of what we ought to have had. Peace with God and the enjoyment of fellowship with him. When we think of the sin offering, we are reminded of what we were. The sin offering deals, I agree, not only with the sins, the fruit, but it deals with the root principle where these sins came from. So when we think of the sin offering, we are reminded of what we were and what we are. And when we think of the trespass offering, we are reminded of what we have done. And the reason why I read to you from chapter 5, verse 14, and chapter 6, you'll find in Leviticus chapter 1, the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, that took in the first three offerings. And now there's a new revelation to Moses. Chapter 4, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses. And that takes from chapter 4 right on to chapter 5, verse 13. And then, from verse 14 to the end of chapter 5, that's a new revelation. For it says, the Lord speak unto Moses. This is a guideline. And then chapter 6, verse 1, the Lord speak unto Moses. Now, in relation to the trespass offering, there was a Godward path. And that's in chapter 5, and then there was the manward path. And if we have time, perhaps we will say one or two little things about it. But coming again to the sin offering, you'll find in the sin offering that first of all, in Leviticus 4, it was according to the measure of responsibility. And then it was according to the ability of the offerer. For you'll find it even comes down to a handful of flour. Well, that be as it may. Let us have a little talk now on the sin offering. Well, first of all, as I have been thinking about the sin offering, the first thing that gripped my soul was this. The exceeding sinfulness of sin. As I read about the sin offering, I was reminded of the heinousness of sin and the holiness of Christ. And if you want the answer to the sin offering, just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so the sin offering brings before us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. But it brings before us something else. This was something they committed unknowingly, unwittingly, and probably unwillingly. But the thought that gripped my heart when I thought of that was the entrapping subtlety of sin. You see, friend, we have a terrible, evil, wicked nature within us. And it's just like the truth of Romans 7, you know. Paul says, the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. And that comes from within. And before we know where we are, we've got sinful thoughts. Isn't that true? I think I'm safe in saying this. The thoughts go through my mind. And the thoughts go through your mind. You wouldn't like your next neighbor or even your very wife to know that. But the thing is this, you know. That's the result of that evil root principle sin. Well, there's not only the entrapping subtlety. You're taken unawares at times, you know. We all are. And thus we thank God tonight for the advocacy of Christ. Perhaps I could say this for the benefit of young Christians. And I think it was E.W. Rogers in a little book, he has this. The difference between the priesthood of Christ and the advocacy of Christ is this. Well, it just simplified it to me. It says, to be our priest, he had to become like us. To be our advocate, he had to be unlike us. And that's the truth of the advocacy of Christ. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So here we have the entrapping subtlety of sin. But with more than that, I was sitting after a burial service yesterday in the Glassford between two sons, next to two sons of the brother whom the Lord had taken home. They were twins, but one's face there was a shadow on it, and the other's face there was a shine on it. Why? Because one had backslidden in heart, and the other was going on happily for the Lord. Now, as I think of the sin offering here, I think of the enveloping shadow of sin. I want to say this. The light goes out your countenance. You lose taste for holy things. Why? Because you have sinned against the Lord. There it was. Two lads the same age, about 40 years of age. One with a shadow and one with a shine on his face. I would say to my young brethren and sisters, keep the shine on your face. And how to keep it? Keep short accounts with God. But there's not only the enshrouding, the enveloping shadow of sin, but there's this evil separation of sin. You see, sin separates my communion with my Father. And this is the devil's aim, that he might separate my communion and let me go home to the glory as miserable as ever he can make me and as ever he can make you. Sin, whether in a sinner or a saint, it's something that separates. But come again. We've not only the evil separation of sin, but I think here's another thought. The exercised soul about sin. You ever been exercised about an evil thought? An evil word? An evil deed? Well, when it came to their knowledge, they were exercised about it. My brother and sister, we cannot be channels of blessing. If our lives are not free from all sin, we shall barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. And it's nice to be exercised. And here's an exercised soul in relation to sin. And then we have brought before us the essential steps in relation to sin. What was the essential steps here? They had to bring a sin offering. And what's the essential steps if you and I sin? The essential steps are confession, forsaking, and getting restored to the Lord. You know, confession of sin is, Lord, I want you to forgive me for all I've said, done, and thought today. That's not confession at all. Confession is, tell the Lord what it was you did. And that's not so easy. And I tell you, if we do that, well, we'll do our best not to do it again. Well then, you see, if that's the essential steps, here's the enlightened steps. I'll tell you, it puts a spring in your feet. It puts a light in your face. It puts a look in your eyes that used to be there. And you're restored to the joy of God's salvation. Now, the sinner thing. Could I speak to you from the New Testament about the sin offering and just give you a simple outline of Hebrews chapter 10? Well, that's the sin offering, you know. In Psalm 40, you read about the burnt offering. And there it says, I delight to do thy will, O God. But the word delight's not in Hebrews 10. Well, Hebrews 10 is the sin offering. Now, I'll be as brief as I can with it, but first of all, we've got the religious foreshadowing of the sacrifice of Christ. What does it say? For the law having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of them, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. But then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged would have no more conscience of sin, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. In simple language, the sin offerings of the old economy and what we are dealing with now, the Old Testament saints were only forgiven in credit, you know. And here, the religious foreshadowing of the sacrifice of Christ as a sin offering is this. The shadow said, we cannot give you peace. We cannot purge your conscience. We cannot pardon your sins. We cannot make you perfect. Now that's just the shadow. But the shadow says the substance is coming. The sacrifice is coming. The Son's coming. And he came. Now the next picture is the recorded foreknowledge of the sacrifice of Christ. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight, I come to do thy will, O God. What book was that? Well, we get the same language in the 40th Psalm. Well, my own judgment is, that's the eternal counsels of God. In the volume of the book of the eternal counsels of God, it was written, he would come to do God's will. You see, it speaks of the pre-existence of Christ. It speaks of the perfect humanity of Christ. And it speaks of the purposed mission of Christ. He came to do the will of God. The recorded foreknowledge of Christ as the sin offering. You see, he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Peter says, who verily was foreordained from before the foundation of the world. Then we take another step down the chapter, and we have the resultant fact of the sacrifice of Christ. What was it? He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And everything now, my brother and sister, is eternally established, is efficaciously established on the one sacrifice of Christ, the sin offering. Then we come to another picture in the book. And here we have the real finality of the sacrifice of Christ. They had to bring their sin offering. That was the annual sin offering in Leviticus 16, but here in Leviticus 4, it could be every day of the week. But you think of the sin offering that we know, the real finality of the sacrifice of Christ. What does it say? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Now, they're just three little words there. You have the sacrifice, you have the sins, and you have the seat. And they're all in the verse. But there's the real finality of the sacrifice of Christ as the one sin offering. And little wonder we love to sing, done is the work that saves, once and forever done. Finish the righteousness that clothes the unrighteous one. But with something else connected to the sin offering, we have the rich fullness of the sacrifice of Christ. You ever thought on that? What's the rich fullness? Forgiveness, fellowship, and freedom to enter into the holiest of all. I tell you, that thrills my soul. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more because of the value of Christ as a sin offering. Fellowship? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, the day of coming glory, the day of the Lord, and also the day of judgment. Then what about freedom of access? Well, because of fullness of atonement, and thank God there's fitness of approach, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath opened up for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and so on. Then we have brought before us the rebellious foes of the sacrifice of Christ. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy, a much sorer punishment. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the company wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and are done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Some tell us today that that's a Christian. Well, I think they would change their mind if they had an experience I had with a godly woman, down on her knees and hanging on to me and telling me to pray for her, for this had tortured her. But there was a dear man in Oban, and he said a lovely thing. He says in Hebrews 6, you have how near one could get. And in Hebrews 10, you have how far one could go. My own honest, humble conviction that this is one who despised Christ, the sin offering. But then, we have not only the rebellious foes of the sacrifice of Christ, but take another step down. And there's the remembered facts of the sacrifice of Christ. Call to remembrance. Will you ever forget the day? He looked on you and you looked on him and we were one forever. Call to remembrance the former days in which we're illuminated. After, and ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye became a gazing stock, and you were companions of them that were so used. And then we have the rewarding future of the sacrifice of Christ. What's the rewarding future of it? You took joyfully, you told the Hebrews, the spoiling of your goods. You knew that in heaven you'd a more better and enduring substance. And where are we tonight, brethren and sisters? Resolute faith in the sacrifice of Christ as the one sin offering. We are not of them who draw back, but of them who believe implicitly, individually believe to the saving of the soul. Now that's the sin offering, as I see it, in the New Testament scripture. Now, if we had to take another look at all the offerings, what would we have? Well, if we looked at the burnt offering, the favor of acceptance, you see, in relation to the burnt offering, it says, it shall be accepted for him. In relation to the sin offering, it says, it shall be forgiven him. And that's the simple difference. The one's acceptance and the other's forgiveness. But when you think of the meal offering, it's not so much the favor of acceptance. We've been accepted in all the acceptability of his beloved Son. That's a real joy. But we've got the fragrance that ascended in the meal offering. And that's the reason we love to sing, "What grace, O Lord, and beauty sure, around thy steps below. What patient love was seen in all thy life and death of woe." And then when we come to the peace offering, we've got the fellowship that's accepted, appreciated, and appropriated. Fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with one another. And when we come to the sin and the trespass offering, the forgiveness that's assured. Now that's just the simple way that I have enjoyed this. Now, as I have already said, the sin offering primarily deals with your evil nature and mine. It's something we have done unwittingly. I wonder, for the benefit of young Christians, could I take your mind to the sin principle, to Romans 6? You see, in Romans 6, there are two masters, sin and God. But it says in Romans 6, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that have died to sin?" We have died to sin in Christ, the risen head. And the result is, having died to sin, it has no more claim upon us, and we shouldn't allow it to have a claim upon us. And it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, therefore being buried with him by baptism unto death, that like us Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of sin." Now the simple thought here is, you and I should have a new attitude to sin. You see, positionally in Christ we have died to it. Publicly and professedly and personally we've acknowledged that in our baptism. What do you do with the dead? You put them out of sight. Well, that's the truth of baptism. We just put ourselves out of sight. Well, that's the new attitude to sin. But come down the chapter a little step further and you've got the new apprehension of self. What does it say? "Our old man is crucified with Christ." That's just what I was before I came to Christ. "That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And the simple thought is this, with regard to sin in me now, it has been put out of action, as it were. And the whole system of sin, not so much the physical body, but sin working through the physical body, that the body of sin, that the operation of sin might be put out of action. And the result is then, there's not only a new apprehension of self, but appreciating that, and this is a sin principle, there's a new army of stalwarts. We're now going to reckon ourselves dead, indeed unto sin. The sin principle, the sin in me, and I'm going to be alive unto God. Now this will be a process. It will be a reckoning and a yielding unto God all the days of our life. But there's not only going to be a new army of stalwarts, and I hope we're all in the King's army there. But coming down a little bit further, there'll be a new activity and service. Those members that this sin within me used in the service of the devil, we now use them in the service of God. I would say to young Christians, your mind, your whole body, every member of your body, yield it unreservedly unto God. Now, an old evangelist once said this in the light of Romans 6. He says, "Brethren, let go and let God have his own." Sometimes we hang on, don't we? We're so human. Yes, and we're so self-centered at times. But let go and let God have his own. Well, there's not only going to be a new activity and service. And you know, you touch divine service and a different way when you appreciate the sin principle has been dealt with at Calvary. But then you have a new approach to the scripture, a new appetite. And Paul says you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And after all, it's nice to mold yourself into the doctrine that's taught in the Epistle to the Romans. But then you see, there's not only a new approach to the scriptures, but there's a new admission of shame. When you think of your past life, and I think of mine, what fruit had you then in those things you're now ashamed? Sometimes it would make you blush. And I certainly wasn't a 500 pence debtor, but I was a 50 pence debtor. But the thing is this, when you look back, and the sins, be they little or large, they were the things that caused your Lord and my Lord to die for us on the cross. But then you see, if we pursue the truth of Romans 6, there'll be a new affluence of sweetness. We'll have our fruit. Something nice, something noiselessly grows, something natural, and it will bring to holiness. And the new assurance of salvation is on the end, everlasting life. Now, I only said that for the benefit of the younger Christian. But sin's viewed as a master, and don't let it master you, and I trust it won't master me. Well, you'll find here in Leviticus 4, there was a priest. Then there was a congregation. And then there was the ruler. And then there was the common, the chosen representative, the chosen race, the chosen ruler, and one chosen from the rank and files of the nation of Israel. And sin here is viewed according to their measure of responsibility. The remarkable thing about the priest is this. You never read that when it was known to him. Why does it not say that? And it was said about the congregation, it was said about the ruler, and said about the common person. Well, it's expected that the priest was one who was in conscious nearness to God. He was the representative of the people of Israel. And it was expected when he committed sin, he would know it right away. And I think that's true today. Dear brethren and sisters who live close to God, and there are many live close to God, but you see, the best of men are only men at the best, and the best of women are only women at the best. But when they think something wrong, or say something wrong, they know it immediately. And they get right with God. So the priest had to bring a bullock. And the blood had to be put, sprinkled 7 times before the veil, not into the holiest. That secured God's relation with them as dwelling among them because of the application of the blood. But then it had to be put on the 4 horns of the golden altar, and that secured the worship. And then the rest of the blood was poured out at the bottom of the brazen altar, and that spoke of their conscience being clear before the Lord. Well, you come now to the congregation. Very solemn thing here. That was a chosen representative. Now here's the chosen race. And in my judgment, it's a picture of an assembly. And the result is this. If there's anything contrary to the holiness of God in the assembly, the elders are responsible before God to see that that's put right. Because the elders are brought before us here, you see, you've got the offences, and you've got the offenders, and you've got the offerings. But here in the assembly, and if you go to the assembly at Corinth, you'd appreciate the thought of the chosen race. Now, there was an assembly at Corinth, and there was a common report. What was the common report? That there was sin in the company. Well, the apostle revealed to them the course that was revealed to them. And what course was revealed? The corruption had to be removed. And the result was this. Those who were responsible in the assembly were responsible to see that it was kept clean. And I think there's a lesson for those who lead the saints in any assembly. Any assembly, I speak generally. The overseeing brethren are responsible to God to see that the assembly is not only fed, but kept clean. That's very important. But then you see, there was the chosen ruler. Now, the same was done with the blood of the young bullock for the chosen race as was done for the chosen representative. Seven times before the veil, put on the horns of the golden altar and poured out at the foot of the brazen altar. But then when you come to the ruler, or one of the rank and file, well, what about a ruler? Well, I view the ruler as one who leads the Lord's people. And after all, you know, you always expect something high and holy from those who lead the Lord's people. Yes. I remember on one occasion in one assembly, there were a brother and a sister were being questioned about their character, their conduct. And the sad thing was this. The girl's father was in the oversight. The young man's father was in the oversight. And they took sides with flesh and blood. They lost their status as overseeing brethren. You see, when we come into the assembly of God, we don't come in as husband and wife. We don't come in as brother and sister. No, we come in on new creation ground. It's outside the assembly that these relationships are very sweet and they must be held fast. So when it's a question of discipline, we should remember we're dealing with new creation principles. But here's a leader. And all the length the blood goes here is a brazen altar. That was the place of approach. And it's the same with the common person, the one from the rank and file. But here's the point, and I would like to say this. In relation to the sin offering, the bullock, no matter what it was, or the young bullock, and you'll find according to responsibility, the offering gets less and less and less. A kid of the goats for a ruler, but it was a male. A kid of the goats for a common person, but it was a female. You see, it was according to the measure of responsibility. Could I say this? The greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility, and the greater the sin. You see, the Lord doesn't look upon sin so heinously when it's committed by one of the assembly as he would look upon it if it was one of those who lead the assembly. That's very solemn, but that's very true according to the sin offering. Now, what had they to do with this bullock, or the young bullock? They had to take it out, the skin, all the flesh, the head, the inwards, and the dung. You know, I was thinking very seriously about that during the last week. The skin, that was the beauty or the glory of the animal. I says, I wonder where I could get a picture of that in the New Testament. Well, if I want the skin of the sin offering, because this is a picture just of you and me, I thought of Paul in Philippians 3. He'd a lovely skin, hadn't he? If any man hath whereof to boast in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, as touching the law of Pharisee concerning zeal persecuting the church. But he threw off the skin. The skin had to get burned. And then that was all the flesh. Well, surely that's Romans 6 again. Romans 7. What did Paul say? I know that in me that is in my flesh, this evil corrupt nature dwelleth no good thing. And then there was the head. Now, that had to be burned. And what would that speak of? Well, you think of Paul again, and he said in the Acts, I thought I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and the head had to go. And then there were the legs. Well, that reminded me of Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2 it said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked. And you'll get seven times the walk through the Ephesian epistle. Wherein in time you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also,